Good afternoon. Welcome back to The Good Life. You just joined us. Well, dang the luck. You missed the first part, but you know you can always listen to the podcast. Go to goodlifeguy.com. You can see what we've done in the past. You can see what's coming up in the next week's program. And there's a link that will take you right to knssradio.com, home of The Good Life. And there's over 2 years' worth of programming there. Obviously, man, you can get notified. Just follow the stream and you'll see. Go to goodlifeguy.com. On the phone with me is my friend Lisa Mattson, roots in Kansas, K-State, moved to Florida, got involved in the wine business, wrote a book called The X's in My Glass about her trials and tribulations, humor and sadness, wine, and led her to California. She's now the big cheese, second only to John Jordan in my mind, at Jordan Winery. Don't tell John I said that. I hope he's not listening. And she's made such an impact. And let's talk a little bit about Jordan. You know, we've done this before, with not only with John, but with Rob Davis, the longest running winemaker in a single location in all of California these days, over 40-some years of experience there at Jordan. Were you even born when the winery started, Lisa?
I was. Well, when the winery started, no. I was born in 74. The winery was started in 1972, but I was born before the first vintage.
Yeah.
76 being the first.
Just. And isn't that something? And to see what has happened, I know the first time I went to the winery was in the mid-80s when I was still living in Europe, and we came back, and my brother and I flew out, and great fun. And then we've been there a couple times since when we first started the radio program. And to watch what has happened and see the things that have changed. Let's give them a can you do it either from memory or from looking at the website, just kind of the timeline of the history and what all has happened leading up to today?
Oh, sure, absolutely. So Tom and Sally Jordan are also from the Midwest. She's from Iowa and he's from Illinois. They met in Colorado, and they were both foodies. That's one thing they had in common before being a foodie sort of existed in America like it does today. So they used to travel a lot to eat. So that meant they were either going to dine in Los Angeles, San Francisco, New Orleans, New York. But most of all, they spent time in France because that's where they felt that the great restaurants of the world were. And that's how they got exposed to wine, was through food. And so they had this aha moment back in the late 1960s at a restaurant in San Francisco where the sommelier tried to serve them a bottle of Napa Valley Cabernet, or tried to convince them to purchase a Napa Valley Cabernet off the wine list. And they said, no, we do not drink California wine, because you have to remember back then that 80% of the wine consumed in America was white, and it was cheap, and it was sweet. So there weren't a lot of great wines. I mean, yes, Robert Mondavi had just been started. Stag's Leap Wine Cellars was getting close. There was a little bit of a movement beginning in Napa, but there wasn't a lot of red wine consumption or quality red wine yet. So that wine was a Beaulieu Vineyard George de la Tour private reserve from 1968. And that just blew them away. And so that was the impetus for them to say, well, maybe we should start a wine business and have a vineyard. And so the vision for Jordan always was from the beginning that it was going to be this wine that was French in style, that it was going to be modeled after their favorite Bordeaux. Tom Jordan loved Chateau Lafite. And at the time in California, there were no, like I'd mentioned, no really high quality. Cabernet was not what it is today, but the wines were also quite tannic. And so Tom had this idea that he wanted to make a Cabernet that was silky, smooth, and approachable right from the release, and that had never been done before in California. So it was a bit of a risk, but they hired Andre Chelichev, the famous winemaker from Beaulieu Vineyard, to be their consulting enologist and to handpick a winemaking apprentice, if you will, that he would train and mold to be the Jordan winemaker. And that was Rob Davis, who was hired out of UC Davis in 1976 for the first vintage of Jordan Cabernet. So the Jordans ended up, you know, creating this French-inspired Cabernet. A few years later, a Chardonnay came along that's more in a Burgundian style, so also modeled after France. And then, of course, the winery, when it came time to realize and build a winery a couple of years before the first release of the Cabernet, so this is like 1974, they decided they wanted to build a French-inspired chateau. So for those of the listeners that haven't been to Jordan, when you drive up to the Jordan Estate, it's as if you feel like you're traveling to France, because it does have this, you know, when you turn the corner up the hill and you see the chateau, it's just this gorgeous, picturesque, ivy-covered building that is very, very French in style. And everything that we do in Jordan revolves around that philosophy of, you know, very balanced, elegant wines that are made to go with food. So we have a full-time culinary staff. We've had a chef almost since the beginning. The winery was designed with a dining room connected to the oak tank room, kitchen right next to the barrel room, guest suites above the kitchen and the dining room that are all connected to the different barrel cellars. So it's just this symbiotic relationship between the food and wine, and like elegant, gracious hospitality that permeates through everything at Jordan. And so we, all of our food and wine, all of our experiences are food and wine pairings. By appointment, we don't have a tasting room, and we just try to kind of honor those great traditions of Europe and get people to slow down and just enjoy some good food and some very nice, elegant wines with great company, and, you know, not worry about all the crazy things that are happening out in the world for a few hours while they're with us at the winery.
It's a good place to do that. And, you know, it's changed even from the access off the road. It used to be no sign, just a little address sign and a nondescript gate, and you would drive up, and then you'd have that aha moment when you see the chateau the first time. Pretty amazing stuff. Things have changed as far as wine production. I know Rob and under the guidance of and the help of John Jordan expanded what used to be in the beginning estate wines into so much more than that, and sourcing really great grapes to add to the estate grapes and to build a better, more complex wine even than the early days. This was a pretty significant change for everybody concerned, wasn't it?
Absolutely. When John took over in 2005, I mean, he knew that the world had changed dramatically since his mom and dad started the winery. So much more competition, so much more high-quality wines being put out there. So John's philosophy is every vintage has to be better than the last. And so his you know, big focus at the beginning was, you know, how are we going to make a better quality wine? Still over-delivering on quality for the price. And so he and Rob talked, and what Rob really wanted to do was continue to work with more grape growers around us, not just using our own estate fruit, because he really felt that he could get more complexity, more concentration of flavors, and still while keeping our acidity high, our alcohol levels low, and keeping the wine in balance. And so John gave him that latitude and said, as long as it says Jordan Cabernet Sauvignon from Alexander Valley on the label, like, I'm open to ideas. And so in 2005, Rob made a wine for John that was what he called Super Blend. And he made a couple of prototypes based on different Bordeaux houses. And he only used his top, like, 10%, 20% of his grower fruit, his favorite, plus the Jordan Petit Verdot that he loves from our estate. Yeah. And then he aged it all in French oak. And a few years later, he tasted John on it. And John was like, oh, my God, this is so good. I wish it could all taste like this. And he showed him the difference between, here's what Jordan used to taste like. Yes, Jordan was great wine, and it has a great reputation. But if we want to elevate this blackberry character and the cassis character a little bit and soften the tannins and a little more concentration, like, here's what you could do just by making these few tweaks. And John said, I wish all of it could taste like this. And Rob said, we can. With the growers we have now, we can, but it's going to take, you know, give me a few years. I need to keep, you know, working on this and fine-tuning the vineyards and fine-tuning the barrels that we're working with, because we had a lot of American oak barrels in the cellar at the time. Because Jordan Cabernet started out as being half American oak and half French oak as this homage to the Beaulieu Vineyard, George de Latour, that was aged in American oak, the fact that Jordan's in California and then the inspiration being France. So they used to be 50-50. So this super blend, then when that was 2005. So they start on this mission of, like, getting better vineyard sources. And then as we did that, what we found is that a lot of these grower vineyards that we source Cabernet from in the Alexander Valley, benchlands and hillsides near Geyserville, they have this amazing natural tannins in the grape skins and this beautiful blackberry cassis flavors. And once you put that into oak, the American oak our winemakers found was like just a little too overpowering. It was actually covering up some of those beautiful flavors that we wanted. And the French oak, the tannins in the French oak actually have this mollifying effect where they kind of balance out and help lift and elevate the fruit. So it's really fascinating, you know, chemistry and science and all of that. But once we started working with this different fruit, the winemakers overwhelmingly in all of their blind tastings preferred the Jordan Cabernet aged in French oak to anything aged in American oak. And so in 2012, John, that was such an incredible vintage, and that's where they tasted it, and they tasted the French oak, and they finally made the decision, all right, let's go ahead and go totally 100% French oak after this vintage. So that takes another few years to happen because of the number of barrels that are in your cellar. So next spring will be the first vintage ever released from Jordan that is aged 100% French oak barrels. So that's another exciting thing that's happened out of this whole, trying to revitalize and make sure Jordan just continues to get better with every vintage, is that we've also, you know, changed our fruit selection and also our barrel selection. So we're really excited for people to try it. It still tastes like Jordan. It's still beautifully elegant, feminine, and gorgeous, but it does have a little more concentration and depth of fruit flavor than our wines had in the past.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, but I think it was like, 6 years ago, when I was there on a rainy day and we went riding around in Rob's truck, and he took me to all these vineyards and was telling me why he got, and he was so excited. It was like a kid in a candy store. And that was, you know, as he was selecting these perfect vineyards in the Alexander Valley to use, it was, that was a memorable day. I hate to take so much of your time. I know you guys want to go work on the house and do things, but can you stay with us just for a little bit more?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. I want to talk about how things are going this year, the harvest. We already heard that Mother Nature's been nice so far, and I've read nothing but glowing things from both Napa, Sonoma, and pretty much all over the California coastline. We'll talk about that, but then more important, we'll talk about wine. I've got the 2015 Chardonnay, Russian River Valley Chard, and the Alexander Valley 2014 Cab. We'll talk about those wines, where you can get them, why you should have them, and why they might be really the perfect combination of wines to have on your Thanksgiving table. I'm Guy Bauer. It is The Good Life, and we'll be right back.